Welcome to the International Bar Association's podcast. I'm Melissa Stock, and today I will be speaking with Kevin Pomfret about geospatial data. Kevin is a partner at US law firm Williams Mullen and the founder and executive director of the Center for Spatial Law and Policy. He is also a member of the board of directors of NOAA's Advisory Committee on Commercial Remote Sensing. Before becoming an attorney, Kevin worked for the US government as a satellite imagery analyst. Kevin, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Melissa.
A brief introduction for those listening. Many of you, I am sure, will find that this is probably very obvious, but geospatial data is information that has a geographic aspect to it and is used to map geographic locations, usually marked at a specific time. And it is becoming increasingly useful because it can also be used to analyze human activity by combining the geospatial data with other types of data, such as, say, census information. And this has led to the development of numerous geospatial technologies. Kevin, could you tell us a bit more about the sorts of applications that geospatial data is being used for, and which of these you think is the most interesting from either a technical or a legal point of view?
That's a good question. There's a wide range of technologies and applications that are associated with geospatial. And it's really, the way I look at it is that there are applications within the government, within industry, and then individuals. So for individuals, for instance, we use it for directions, satellite navigation devices. We use it when we order Uber or hail a taxi driver of some sort, or rideshare type service. And also farmers use it, for instance, in developing countries to have a better sense as to what crops to plant and when to bring the crops to market and what the price is, because location and timing is all critical to that. Within industry, I mentioned Uber. There are satellite companies. There are drone companies now that are collecting geospatial information, basically sensors located on their platforms. We have ground-based systems. We have companies now that are collecting mobile data from your cell phones or mobile devices, as you're familiar with. There's a lot of different IoT technologies now, Internet of Things technologies that are going to have a location component to it. It could be as simple as an IP address, but it could be more broadly defined to a latitude or a longitude. So there's a whole range of applications that are being developed in the industrial sector. And then governments have always been a big proponent and user of geospatial technologies, going back to applications around military and defense systems, intelligence community, but also in civil applications. So in terms of transportation, and in terms of climate change, in terms of migration, food security, a number of national and international issues associated with using geospatial. You asked me what I think are the most interesting from a technical or legal standpoint. I don't really know. I think there's a lot of interesting applications that are being done now, but I think that maybe in the future we're going to see even some more that are going to be really important. So autonomous driving, I think, is going to be a really important application, and geospatial technology is going to have a significant impact on that, whether it be sensors on board that are collecting geospatial information and then notifying either other drivers or notifying sensors on the road, and then the mapping technologies that are going to be used in the automobiles for driving, I think, is really important. Drones is certainly another aspect that people talk about a lot, about the value of drones or autonomous systems in general for providing a number of applications. Many of those are going to have a geospatial component to it. So I can't think of one. I personally, given, as you mentioned, that I was a former satellite imagery analyst, I'm really excited about the developments that are taking place in the space and remote sensing sector, particularly around small sats with these different type of sensors that are collecting some really interesting data, or will be collecting some really interesting data that will be fed into other data types and provide, I think, a real much better sense of what's going on in the earth for a lot of different applications. Like I said, climate change, weather, agriculture, insurance, transportation, just numerous applications that will be coming to market in the next several years.
Here in the UK, the government has been focused on the importance of data to our economy, particularly the geospatial sector. It's estimated to potentially generate £11 billion a year and could help, as you say, the government deliver more efficient emergency services, provide better planning for transport. And the government's Geospatial Commission recently published its strategy for the next 5 years, which looks to coordinate the public sector's geospatial data. But it would seem to me that this is actually what we need to see is the collaboration between the private sector and the public sector in how this data is used and to make it more available. And the government here is trying to encourage that collaboration and incentivize the private sector to share data. But what, in your view, are the most significant obstacles to this private-public sharing of geospatial and other data?
I think it's really interesting that it's going to be really interesting to see how industry and government are going to be able to work together. This is the government simply going to be a customer of industry, or is it truly going to be a partnership between industry and government going forward? And I think that still needs to be worked out by both industry and government. I see a lot of talk within the geospatial sector of public-private partnerships, but a lot of it is simply the government buying products and services from industry, which is a fine business model and can satisfy both government and industry. But I don't think that's as a traditional public-private partnership in the way that I traditionally think about it, and I think most in the legal community think about it. I think in a public-private partnership, there's sharing of risk and there's sharing of the benefits, whether they be economic or financial or otherwise. And that does require both a legal framework to deal with it. There needs to be some financial incentives for both industry and the government to participate in. And I think there's some real challenges around data itself in doing that. So one is simply the intellectual property rights in data and trying to figure out who has rights to do what they need to do. For industry, it wants to be able to sell not just to one particular agency, but to a variety of agencies, where in a lot of parts of the world, the feeling is if we buy this within one sector of the government, we should be able to share it with other sectors at no additional cost or a minimal cost. And there's a tension there that needs to be resolved. And I think that's something that needs to be, really worked out. The other issue that I've seen and worked on somewhat is this concept of authoritative data. A number of government agencies believe that the data that they collect through their own means and mechanism, and a lot of government agencies, a lot of governments in general, are collecting geospatial or location-enabled data. A lot of them feel like they need to be the authoritative source on data, and they shouldn't get that data from industry. And there are some legitimate reasons for that, certainly, in terms of making sure that they have the quality and the type and data sets that they need for their particular application, because data requirements vary. But also, I think there is a little bit of a protecting their own turf, protecting their own rights and their offices and their budgets. And if they farm that out to industry, then maybe there in several years, they won't be seen as needed. And we've seen that in a lot of different applications around geospatial. And I think that's coming to bear as well with respect to these public-private partnerships. So I think that's a really interesting tension that's going to play out in terms of what does authoritative data mean? What do governments actually need? How can industry play in that? And then can you develop a business model that truly is a partnership, if that's what both sides want, rather than government just being purchaser of data? And I think that requires, to some extent, acknowledgement that data is an asset, just like a number of other assets that are included in public-private partnerships. And you need to consider the financial, the legal, and the risks associated with that in developing a partnership. And that takes some pretty sophisticated folks on both sides, both industry and government, to sort of work through the issues that the other side is dealing with to find a compromise. In the legal community, we do this all the time, but I think there's still a sharp learning curve when it comes to data, and particularly geospatial data.
Yeah, that leads me to my next question, really, and that's the role of intellectual property in the use of geospatial data that seems to me to be particularly important. I mean, what are the challenges when it comes to designing licenses? Could you design licenses that are suitable for these collaborations and encourage both sides and give each side, some investment in the asset and further use of the asset at a later date? Is that, a way of breaking through that tension and, making it more of a partnership as opposed to, as you say, just buying the data?
That's a really good question. And I think there are a number of groups that are trying to look at that. There are a number of organizations now that have created these open data licenses in general, not just for geospatial, but for data more broadly, and are trying to figure out, you know, people are trying to figure out how to adopt those licenses to these various models. I believe that there are some unique issues associated with geospatial data that make it a particularly challenge to develop these licenses. One is simply that there are so many different types of geospatial data, whether it be from a satellite, whether it be for a drone, whether it be from government, whether it be from industry, whether it be from independent citizens providing their providing their mobile devices. I mean, there's a lot of different types of geospatial data from a lot of different sources. And so trying to aggregate those and develop a unified licensing regime around that is really, really difficult. And so I think that's one aspect. Another aspect is that geospatial information is very versatile. So you can use it for a lot of different things. You can collect it for one purpose and you can use it for a number of other purposes. Now, it may not be suited for that purpose. So you may want in your license agreements want to have some representations and warranties to make sure that it's being used, or a covenant that says it's only going to be used for X and not for Y. So maybe it shouldn't be used for turn-by-turn navigation, for instance, because there's a higher quality, higher fidelity, more timeliness associated with that. But I think that's different than other types of data sets that are more static and have, while very important uses, maybe only a limited number of uses. And so it's easier to define what the market is, what the use is. And I think that's where the geospatial community is struggling, because as it's reaching out into new markets, it's dealing with different regulatory frameworks, it's dealing with different customer requirements, different business models. So I think it's really difficult to broadly have a geospatial license or even an open license that can apply to geospatial. I do think there are some opportunities, and I have been encouraging and trying to work with some folks on this, developing tailored license for particular applications where the universe of data providers are fairly well known, the particular applications are fairly well known, the different types of data that will be used are pretty well recognized. And I think if you start with that and you start to develop a licensing framework around that particular application, you may be able to replicate that to other applications and maybe other data sets. But I think if you start with a broad license and try to tailor that broadly to geospatial, I think you're going to run into challenges. And I think folks have been seeing that over the past couple of years.
I mean, privacy concerns about the onward sharing of data and further use of personal data is currently a theme that has taken hold across all jurisdictions. In Europe in particular, there are strict requirements about how personal data is used. And of course, location data is one of the biggest concerns because it reveals so much about an individual's private life. And there was a lot of concern about the COVID-19 tracking apps that were being deployed. And there seems to me to be two aspects, really. One is the onward sharing of data and the recombination of data. And a lot of this data is fed into big data sets and de-identified to an extent. But there's always the other aspect, which, yes, you have people concerned about the onward sharing and who it goes to and where it goes to. And then the other aspect is the inadvertent identification of people using technology that uses location data. So you have an application that was made for one thing, and then they find that actually it has other effects that were not considered, whether it be something that tracks you and it can work out where you live, or if it's someone who works, for the military, and you can find out locations where they're going because of their app, the trackers that they have for fitness, say. And it seems to me that's going to be quite a big problem. But do you think that these concerns are taken out of proportion, or that they are legitimate?
Well, I think the concerns in general are legitimate because, one, we are entering into a world where data protection and privacy is of growing concern, not just in Europe and the United States, but across the globe. And I think, interestingly, at least here in the U.S. and I think in other parts of the world as well, it's also coming into context or being aligned with national security concerns. So, for instance, in the U.S., there's concerns about certain apps owned by or based in foreign countries that are collecting large amounts of personal information from individuals and then using that for their own national security purposes or threat purposes and things like that. So I think there's a very significant issue associated with that. I also think that if the geospatial community is going to, you know, reach what it's been trying to do over the past 20 or so years, which has become more broadly accepted and used in a number of different applications, it needs to recognize that it's going to bump up against legal and regulatory policy issues that are more broadly applied to industry as a whole. And that's one of the, you know, downsides to having the success that they're starting to have, which is that they're on the radar of a lot of government regulators, particularly given, as you've pointed out, the power of location is incredible, right? And it's a very, very valuable tool for a lot of different applications, but there are risks that come with that. So balancing those risks with the benefit is going to be important. I do think that there has not been, because of some of the unique aspects of location information, we're maybe not having a meaningful discussion of how you balance those risks versus the rewards. And I think the COVID-19 example is a great one, because I think if countries had a real legal and regulatory framework around the issues associated with privacy, they would have been able to introduce COVID-19 related apps or tracking devices or other things that would have helped deal with the spread, rather than scramble to figure out what to do and put things together and deal with the privacy issues sort of on the fly. So I do think there's a lot of value in looking at this holistically in terms of what is the risk, what is the benefit, how do you deal with this? I also think that if you are going to develop a legal framework around location privacy, you need to recognize that we give our location away every day when we go out in public and share that with people when we travel. And so trying to define what location privacy is and who you share it with and who's responsible, I think takes a lot of thought and discussion that I don't see taking place in a lot of areas right now. And I see some laws developing here in the United States in particular that maybe have not thought through some of the unique aspects. So for instance, a lot of the privacy and data protection frameworks are based around notice and consent. Well, location information is often collected without notice and consent. So how do you deal with that? Mm-hmm. And particularly when you start looking at different definitions of what's considered personal data and personal information as we sort of move to sort of a new normal on those definitions. So I think there's a host of issues. I think the value of geospatial is not fully baked into the balancing that takes place between data protection and privacy and the benefits. And I do worry, getting back to your initial point, I do worry that the law is going to fall too much on the side of limiting the collection and sharing of geospatial or other types of location information at the risk of some pretty significant benefits.
I read about one application, so-called geosocial, which looks at social media hashtags and then combines that with third-party data to produce insights. So, for example, you can take a hashtag commonly used by dog lovers, hashtag love dogs or whatever, and then you gain insights on where people are with dogs, these dog lovers, and where they live, and then compile insights on those people, ethnic diversity, educational attainment, home ownership, political party affiliation, and then all this can then be used for, marketing or retail planning or urban planning or for whatever reason. But it seems to me that's all well and good if what you are collecting is representative of the group that you're collecting it on. So I wonder that you have this data and you collect and you put all these data sets together, and then you try to think about, the risk rewards, that sort of balancing act, and then you think about the policy if you're in government. But what happens to the missing data? What happens to those people that are not being represented in that? And I mean, we all worry about how much data has been collected on us, but I sometimes also wonder, what about the data that's not being collected? How is that feeding into this whole process?
Well, that's a fair point. I don't necessarily believe it's something that is new, though. I mean, I think we've always had that issue with people making decisions based on data without necessarily understanding what's missing. As you mentioned, I was a satellite imagery analyst before I went to law school, and part of the work there was determining not just what you saw, but what you didn't see and what you needed to see to make a definitive decision. So I think that's always been part of the analytical process and will always be that way, right? In terms of trying to make decisions based on data in your analysis. Obviously, it's become more significant now because of the role that big data is playing in our society. And then when you start looking at artificial intelligence and machine learning and the black boxes that are associated with that and the algorithms that are being developed, you're taking out in many instances the human element in terms of, you know, fact checking or thinking through. And part of the challenge with geospatial is, for instance, understanding what's missing in an insurance context is very different than understanding what's missing in a defense or intelligence context, and very different than what's missing in a agriculture context, right? So you've got to think through for each one of those in terms of what you need to do. So I get that, and I certainly think that we're going to go through some pretty bumpy times, and it's not perfect, right? And it will never be perfect. Hopefully, it will get better. Hopefully, it will be less discriminatory. It will be more inclusive. It will be more accurate based on the data that's being collected. But to the point that I was making earlier, you talked about people being able to identify people, areas that where there are a lot of dog lovers, for instance, or pets. You know, I walk through my neighborhood and I can tell that there are a lot of people that are out walking their dogs and their pets on a regular basis. I don't need social media to do that.
Yeah.
Maybe I get a little broader. It's a little bit easier to collect, but you know, there are other ways that have traditionally been used to collect that information, and some of them have been better and some of them probably have been worse than the means that are being built in now. So there's a little bit of this sense in my mind, oh no, there's this new technology, how's it going to make things worse? And just as an anecdote that I've been given, you know, over the years, you know, when people were talking about geotagged photos and the ability to use those geotagged photos to find out where someone had gone or what park they went to and things and what the risks associated with that of putting that on the internet. And I get that's a risk, but at the time I had a child in college and my greater concern for her when she went to school was not that she was going to post something on the internet that someone would be able to find out where her house, where she was living, but rather she went to a party and someone followed her home, right?
The greater
risk still from a location standpoint is the people who you give your location with every day and without even thinking about it. And that's part of the challenge I think we need to consider when we start thinking about privacy and all those sort of things.
Yeah. Yeah. The sort of the assessment of risk, you know, and I think we get quite, we look into the technology so closely, and then, as you say, we don't look at the world around us, and the fact is that risk exists even more so in real life, whether or not you're on the phone or putting a post out or whatever. The United Nations has highlighted the importance of geospatial data and the role it plays in the Sustainable Development Goals, mapping patterns such as global population growth, and as you mentioned earlier, the impact of climate change can help understand the challenges that need to be addressed and guide policymakers to achieve the SDGs. In the sustainable development sector, geospatial data is being used to address, you know, climate change, conservation, access to water resources. Are the legal issues different when it comes to the use of geospatial for these purposes compared with, you know, the promotion of services or the private sector, or are they very much the same?
I believe, and I've been working with UNGGIM, which is a geospatial information group within the United Nations Statistics Office, on some of these issues. And the UNGGIM developed what's known as the Integrated Geospatial Information Framework, which is to help countries deal with or understand how to use geospatial information better to address things such as the SDGs. And there's 9 strategic pathways, and one of the strategic pathways is policy and legal. And there's a legal and policy working group within the UN, GGIM, that's focused on this as well and looking at some of the issues that we've talked about here. In my experience, many of the issues are the same between using them for SDGs, using it for industry, using it for national purposes, whatever. Their importance varies. Depending on the type of data and how it's being used, how you weigh the risk and reward, like we talked about, varies. But issues around intellectual property rights, licensing, privacy, liability issues, national security issues, regulatory issues, all fit into this broad area in terms of using geospatial. And I refer to it as spatial law, geospatial law. I think the issues are the same. Now, one of the unique aspects of what we're seeing with technology is that it's become seamless to transfer data from one country to another. But because of the way that the law works, which is still tied to a jurisdiction, and increasingly one of the few things that still is tied to a jurisdiction, and because the laws vary, particularly around data, pretty significantly between country to country, or even in the United States, between state to state, you've got some real legal issues with respect to collecting and sharing data. So when you start looking at the SDGs and you're trying to build an international map or deal with these on a broader level, not only are you dealing with these same issues, but it's exponentially more complicated because now you're having to deal with all these different jurisdictions. And that's one of the challenges with geospatial. It's one of the most international communities that I've dealt with before, and there are several others that are probably as international. But because of the nature of what's done and how it's being used, and actually the genesis of the technology, it's by its nature international. And with that, you get a lot more complexity associated with all the different laws. And a lot of countries don't have particular or specific laws around these issues. So you have to either draw upon your experience in other countries, or you have to analogize from existing laws how those would apply to geospatial or data or national security, that type of thing. So it's a complex area. I think it's incredibly valuable for the UN. And you're right, the UN is spending a lot of time in promoting and increasing the recognition of the value of geospatial, and is focusing, to its credit, I believe, on facilitating the collection and sharing of geospatial information to deal with these issues across borders. But it's a very complex issue, and it's going to take it's going to take time before we get to where I think most people want us to get to.
Do you think that the creation of an international body or organization that could oversee the use of geospatial data, or at least coordinate its use, fix some of the problems that you have identified?
I don't think that is would be an effective or meaningful way to deal with these issues for several reasons. One, because as I've said, geospatial technology is so broad and data types are so varied that it would be impossible in my mind. And there have been efforts made, including by the IBA, to try to do that. They suggested, it's been several years ago, they suggested essentially a treaty to try to deal with those issues. And just even defining what geospatial information is and capturing all the different sectors and is very, very difficult. So I don't think that's an effective way to do it. I also think it's too early in the sense that we're still trying to figure all this out, and in any meaningful way to try to regulate that would, one, be used by people to sort of stifle its use before we even fully understand its value. Now, having said that, I recognize that there are some risks. I think many of those risks need to be adapted or considered within national legal regulatory frameworks to balance the benefits versus some of the risks, but I think an international framework to look at this would be a mistake. I think it's too early, and I think it would do more harm than good, not just for those in the geospatial community, but for dealing with transnational issues like dealing with COVID. I think trying to think through some of those issues or a legal framework, having a legal framework in place that was rigid, and then trying to figure out how to deal with something like COVID in this stage of the technology would be a significant mistake and would actually hurt more people than it helped.
So would you say that the way forward, or perhaps just the way it inevitably will occur, is that you'll just have collaborations between governments, private sector, different nations, and that will sort of set the tone or be the starting point, and then incrementally we just add to that knowledge and that framework that sort of just comes about in a particular set of circumstances?
Yeah, I think we'll get there. We've gotten there in other areas of the law for the most part. I mean, I understand there's always differences between countries and there's always different perceptions as to the benefits and the risks associated with it. But in many areas of the law, in my experience, there's a common understanding in terms of what the framework looks like and you know what can and can't be done other than around the edges and so I think we'll get there with geospatial, but I think it is going to take some time and it is going to be messy. And I think it's been messy in other areas of law as well over time. I think that's just the nature of the way the law works because it does tend to trail technologies. But I think trying to put together an international framework right now where the variance in terms of even the maturity of the geospatial communities within countries vary so significantly that we're not even close to at a common point where we can begin discussing those issues. Well, I take that back. We are at a point where we can start discussing them, and that's taking place at UNGGIM, that's taking place in other venues as well. But I don't think that the solution that some go to, which is let's create a, you know, this international effort is going to be the best way. I do think sort of a ground up approach dealing with these issues, learning more about the technology and where it's going, and then maybe developing, I don't want to say sector specific, but if there are issues such as data protection and privacy that need to be resolved, those will bubble up and those will be taken care of.
This is a sector that's growing. I mean, technology is developing at an extraordinarily fast pace, and the opportunities it creates seems to constantly evolve. What legal skills are required or going to be required to meet this demand, particularly in the geospatial sector?
You know, that's one of the challenges that I see. That's a really good question. So I think that there are two answers to that. One is there is the combination of understanding the technical capabilities, the operational uses, and then the legal framework that's around that. So there's really digging in deep into the industry or to the, if you're in the government, you know, the applications around geospatial and how they're being used within your agency or industry or whatever. I mean, I think there's a lot of education that needs to be done to really get in and understand that. And so that's one. The other is, I think it requires if you are going to advise clients in industry or government, a broader understanding to deal with their issues. I think it cuts across so many different legal domains that it takes a little bit of effort to, you know, re-educate yourself, or at least not necessarily re-educate, but broaden what you might normally do. So intellectual property rights, for instance, is often associated with privacy issues, even though in my mind they're very different. But, you know, intellectual property, licensing, privacy, the liability issues, I think, are important to understand those, whether it be a product or a service, how data is being ingested into technology, and who's going to be responsible from a contractual standpoint for those liabilities or liable under law, which gets into if it's a government agency as compared to industry, whether there's sovereign immunity, as we call it here in the U.S. I mean, there's a whole issues around that. National security issues, I think, are going to be increasingly important because of where this technology came from, but also because how both state actors and industry are using and collecting certain types of data. So understanding export control, national security laws are all important issues as well. And then sector specific. So as I said, the satellite sector, the space industry, the drone industry, if you're in working with smart cities, understanding what regulatory issues around smart cities, transportation for autonomous vehicles, or whether they be air or ground, all those areas are going to be increasingly important to understand, because we haven't really touched upon this. We've been around the edges, but we haven't really focused on this. Geospatial products and solutions increasingly will be based not on just one particular data type or one particular data source, but a variety of sources, variety of data types ingested into systems. And all of these data types are going to come from different countries, different platforms, subject to different regulatory concerns, raising different issues around privacy and intellectual property rights. So I believe you're going to have to sort of understand all of that to be able to advise your clients, whether that be industry or government, in terms of what they can or should be doing and what they can or shouldn't be doing. So not sure if that answers your question, but that's how I think about it.
It very much does. Thank you very much. And thank you so much for speaking with me today, Kevin. And I'm sure those listening will find this discussion as insightful as I did.
Well, thank you. This has been really interesting as well. I appreciate it being on your podcast.